want to speak to you today on along these lines. I think one of the main problems we have as believers in receiving the promises of God, wonderful as they are, is that we are not fully convinced, oftentimes, of what the will of God really is in that circumstance. This problem has infected the church for centuries. And this is why we hear so many prayers from sincere Christian folks going forward along these lines, if it be thy will. Now, there are some things that we do not know specifically what the will of God is unless He reveals it to us personally. If you're in the market for a new home, or you're in the process of looking at a new job, or you're doing something of that nature, and you might pray and say, Lord, which of these, or what do you want me to do? Give me some direction here. You have nothing other than a rhema word from God at that moment to inform you or to reveal His will for you. But in the major issues of life, the Lord has not left us ignorant concerning His will. For example, if you're a lost person, you're living under the guilt, the weight, and the guilt of sin, the first thing you have to know, in addition to the fact that you're a sinner, before you can be saved, is you must know what the will of God is. For if you think, if there's just a scintilla in your mind that it may not be the will of God for you to be saved, you'll never get born again. Example. You take a person who has come out of deep sin, deep degrading kind of sin, primarily moral sin, drunkenness, prostitution, adultery, things of that nature, just deep stuff. And how many times have you heard it said, either to you directly or by someone else, I didn't believe God could ever save anybody as bad as me. Now, what is that person saying? What he's saying is, I do not believe that it is the will of God to save me. Because I've been too bad, I've been too wicked, I've done too many terrible things, I do not believe it's the will of God. I don't care what you say to that person, until that person comes to accept the fact that it is God's will to save him or her, he or she will not be saved. Now that is true in every other aspect of our relationship with God. The first thing you must settle is what the will of God is. When I was a religious person in my mid-30s. I wasn't saved. You know my testimony. I wasn't born again. I was religious, active in the church, tither, all that. But I hadn't been born again. My wife got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I, you know, she had something I didn't, and I went after it. And on the way to the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I got born again. Then subsequently, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the rest is, as Rush Limbaugh says, histoire, history. But one of the things I had to settle was whether it is the will of God to fill every person with the Holy Spirit. If it is His promise and His will to fill every person with the Holy Spirit, then that includes me because I'm a person. But until that point, until I settled that, and I settled it in Acts 2, 38 and 39, just in passing. When I read that passage, where it says, and this promise is for you and your children and those who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. I said, that's me. You called me, that's me. Promises for me. And that was step one for me. I shouldn't say step one, but that step one was when I began to search. But the first step in terms of bringing me to a place where I could receive this promise from God was establishing for sure what the will of God really was. Now, look here at, and I want to talk to you today about the will of God in another area. And I think this is part of the problem that we have. We really do not have this settled. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. God is not hiding His will, particularly where it involves serious life issues. He has given us clear revelation of it. The devil wants to confuse it, and he wants to obscure it, and he wants to convince us that what God clearly said is not His will, or there are conditions to it, or what anything that he can add that put us in a condition where we do not truly understand what the will of God is. Now, when we don't understand what the word of the, what the will of the Lord is, verse 17 says, we are unwise. When we don't know what the will of God is regarding salvation, we're unwise about salvation. We don't know what the will of God is regarding healing, physical healing, we're unwise on that subject. We don't know what the will of God is, have a clear understanding. To understand in this sense means to gather all the facts together and make sense out of it. That's what that word understanding means. We're to have understanding and not be unwise, but we're to walk as wise, knowing, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, how are we going to know what the will of the Lord is? Let's look at Romans chapter 12. Can we know the will of God in these areas? Let me give you another example now, while you're turning to Romans 12. How about the idea that some have, that God doesn't want every person to be saved? How would you really find out what the will of God was with regard to that? And suppose you had a situation where you were witnessing to somebody and that person said, I don't believe God wants to save me. I don't think He could save me. I'm too bad. I'm too wicked. There's never been a Christian in my family. What have you? How would you deal with a person like that? What would you do with them? No, you would say, no, I just know that I know that I know that God wants you to be saved. Do you know how much good that's going to do to that person? That much. Because your opinion matters nothing with regard to what the will of God is. I can take you to places right around our community who will tell you that the will of God is that not everybody's going to be saved. I can show you, I can take you to lots of places. Perhaps there's some in here this morning, I don't know, who think that the will of God is not that every person should be healed. But you see, it doesn't matter what the guy from behind the pulpit says. It doesn't matter what your grandmother says. It doesn't, pardon me, Grandma Reba. It doesn't matter what your sainted aunt says. Romans 12 says it matters what God said. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, verse 1, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Do not take your wisdom or your understanding of the will of God from the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He wants us to know what His will is. And the way we'll find out what His will is by having our mind renewed, and we will get it renewed in the Word of God. Now turn with me, that I'm going to get specific now. Turn with me to 3 John, verse number 2. 3 John doesn't have chapters, it's a short book. 3 John, this would be one of the little Johns, near the back of your Bible. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, Revelation is the way your Bible ends. Unless you have a concordance, and then it would be concordance, and then unless you had maps, then it would be maps. And then unless you had an index, then it would be index. The Apostle John, this is the beloved of Jesus, and he writes, verse 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Now, that verse is often used to express the will of God with regard to health and healing. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Now, the word health does literally mean physical health, the physical health of the body. But I've heard those say, well, it doesn't say he wills, it says he wishes it. Well, the word wish is just another way of translating the Greek word that literally means my will is that you be in health. And then I've heard folks say, well, it may have been John's will, but who says it's God's will? So that's a good verse, but I don't think it's enough, because it can be gainsaid, as I've just indicated. So today what I want to establish for you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I could take 3 or 4 days to do this. I'm going to try to do it in 3 or 4 hours. I do have the pulpit. Ushers guard the doors. I'm going to try to establish in the time we have available that the will of God is always for healing. Always. And I'm going to begin at Matthew chapter 4. Let's turn there. I've been talking to the Lord about why it is that we have not recently been seeing signs like we had seen in days gone by. When I say signs, I mean supernatural demonstrations of the power of God. We have some folks in our midst who are sick with serious problems, serious sicknesses. It should not be so. And the Lord reminded me of the last verse in Mark, where Jesus had given instructions to His disciples, and then after He ascended into heaven, the last verse says, And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. And He reminds me that the signs that we're looking for must follow preaching of the Word on that subject. If we want to see people saved, we preach salvation. If we want to see them baptized in the Holy Ghost, we preach the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If we want to see them healed, we preach healing. If we want to see them move in the gifts of the Spirit, we preach the gifts of the Spirit. In fact, that's exactly what happened here Wednesday night a couple of weeks ago. I preached on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we had my 83-year-old mother get baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Why? Because God confirmed His Word with signs following. In addition, that night, we had a man, a middle-aged fellow, I guess, friend of Claire's, get born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in other tongues. Same night. Why? Signs follow the preaching of the Word. So he reminds me that if we want to see healing signs, we preach healing. So today we're preaching healing. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 23. And we're preaching this aspect of it. There's just no way that you can declare everything that the Word of God says about healing in a positive sense in a Sunday morning. You just can't possibly do that. But what I'm going to attack this morning is this one area. And that is, what is the will of God? Is it always the will of God, or isn't it always the will of God? Verse 23 says, "And Jesus, who is the expression," I'm interjecting this now, "who is the expression of the Father in the earth." Jesus said, "You've seen me, you've seen the Father." He said, "I don't do anything of my own self. What I see the Father doing, that's what I do." So if you want to know what God does, you watch what Jesus does. Because He is God in the flesh. And so we're going to look at some of the things He did. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing..." I'm looking at that word, and does it really say that? Does your Bible say all? All manner of, well, everything except cancer, everything except heart trouble, everything except gout. All, everybody say all manner of sickness, and all, say all again, and all manner of disease among the people. "And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers or various diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them." Well, what if my disease is caused by the devil? Doesn't matter. "And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee," etc., etc., etc. Now jump over to the 8th chapter. I've got to highlight here because there's so much. And look at verse 5, chapter 8. And all through these early chapters, well, all through the Gospels, Jesus preached and He healed. He taught and He healed. This is one of His healing. Miracles. Verse 5, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." Speak the word only. Now see, where is the healing power? The psalm tells us in the Psalms, He sent His word and healed them. Jesus is the Word made flesh. He sent His Word in the flesh and healed them. In this case, here is a non-Jew. Now, this is a non-church person. This Roman, Gentile, heathen man. Heathen. Roman soldiers were not your highest caliber people. Character. But he had something going for him. He said, I'm not worthy. And let's face it, you're not either. You're not. The only reason you're worthy is because of the Jesus that lives in you. That's the only thing that makes you worthy. I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And then inherent in what he's saying, and I understand that you are under authority, and you have authority, and that the source of authority is the word of your superior. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. In this Roman soldier, he found more faith than he did in all of the church of his day. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In other words, it's not a matter of whether it's the will of God or not. It's a matter of the response of the people. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And guess what? His servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Now, I want you to pay attention here to the middle of that verse where Jesus said to this man, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. In other words, if you believe for his healing, he'll have it. If you don't, he won't. All right, let's go to the next verse. This is another one of his healings. Verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. She arose and ministered unto them. Do you see that the will of God is even for mother-in-laws? Verse number 16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, what is it that Jesus was demonstrating by his healing power? He was demonstrating that what Isaiah had said in the 53rd chapter of his prophecy, verses 4 and 5, was not just spiritual healing that he was being referred to. It was physical healing. That Jesus himself took our weaknesses and carried away our sicknesses. In the same way that he carried our sins, he carried also our sicknesses. Now let's jump over to Matthew 9. And look at the 20. And behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him, touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Interesting thing about that story from the Gospel of Mark, Jesus didn't even know this woman was sick. Didn't even know she was nearby. But she reached out and touched him physically and with her faith, and she was whole. Then verse 27. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind man came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, Seeing that no man know it. Now, these last three stories that I've given you, I want you to see. The centurion, Jesus said to him, As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. The woman with the issue of blood, he said to her, Thy faith hath made thee whole. And to the blind men, he said, According to your faith, be it unto you. Now, did they receive their healing because it just happened to be the will of God for them? No. They tapped into what was the will of God for every person by their faith. All right, let's go to Mark chapter 1. I want you to see something here. Oh, Jesus, help me to get this across. Mark chapter 1 and Mark 1:40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now what's he saying here? Heal me if it's your will. Now, here's a man who does not know what the will of God is. The will of God had not been fully revealed. Jesus is in the process of revealing it to him. What did Jesus say? Moved with compassion, he put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I might. He said, I will. Now, here's the important part of it. And of course, he goes on and he's clean. The leprosy departs from him and so on. That's what I want you to see from this short story. The man says, if it's your will, heal me. Jesus said, it is my will, be healed. And he was. Now, you might make a case, it wouldn't last very long, but you could make a case where you would say, well, it happened to be Jesus, the will of God through the Lord Jesus to heal this man of leprosy, but how do you know it's always the will of God? It was his will for that man, but it might not be for me. Now, how would you respond to that? I mean, it's a reasonable question, I think, don't you? It's a reasonable question. Nobody wants to be presumptuous. Nobody wants to presume upon the will of God. Nobody wants to attribute something to him that he has not attributed to himself. So how would you answer that? I'll tell you how I would answer it. I would answer it Acts 10:34. Let's turn over there. Acts 10:34. Oh, now what we're going to see here is not an isolated situation. This is in the Word of God four or five times. Romans 2:11, Ephesians 6:9, Colossians 3:25, Matthew 22:16. Acts 10:34 says, And Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Now, what is the context of Peter's saying this? You'll remember the story from Acts chapter 10. Peter had been at a seaside home. He was on a rooftop, and he was waiting for them to prepare lunch down below. And he fell into a trance. And while in that trance, he saw a vision. And in this vision out of heaven, he saw this large sheet coming down. And on this sheet were all manner of beasts and insects and so all sorts of creepy, crawly things, and many of them were items that was unlawful for a Jew to eat. And he heard a voice saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "No, Lord, I can't do that. Nothing unclean has ever touched my lips." And the voice came again, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." "No, I can't do that." It happened three times, and then the sheet was lifted up into heaven. In the meantime, there was a Roman soldier in another town who had been praying, and he was seeking God and wanting to know the truth, and an angel came and appeared to him and said to him, "God hears your prayers. He sees the sincerity of your heart, and he says, I want you to send some men to Joppa and find this man Peter, and he will come and tell you what you need to know." And Peter is there at this Roman soldier Gentile's home. And up until then, the Jews had no intercourse with the Gentiles. They had no contact with them. The Gentiles were unclean. Jews were God's people. Everybody else was not God's people. And Peter says at Cornelius' house, he says, "I understand now what God was trying to show me when he let this sheet down. One of the things that were said to him was, what I have cleansed, call thou not unclean." And he was informed and realized that it was the will of God that the gospel should go to every person. And that's what he says here. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceived that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Now listen, what does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means if God healed this leper, then in order for him to be honest, he must be willing to heal you. And you. And you. And you. And you. And you. For if he says to the leper, "I will be clean," and then he says to you, "I won't die," he is now what his word declares he is not, and that is a respecter of persons. He has said, "I respect the person of the leper, but I don't respect you. I have no regard for you. I have no regard for your situation. I don't care that you're in pain. I don't care that you have this uncontrollable disease. I don't care about any of that. I love this leper, but I don't give a rip for you." Now, if you believe, if you have just this teeny, teeny little bit, you know, I've shared this with you before, but this image comes to my mind again, and it's such a powerful image, I'm going to share it again. Because I think we do not recognize how significant a little tiny bit of tradition, how devastating that can be. Just a tiny bit. And mostly we don't recognize it. And this is the image the Lord gave me years ago. A glass of milk is something that is life-sustaining to a young child. When a child first comes into the world, that's all they eat is milk. Mother's milk or some other kind of formula, whatever. Wholesome, life-sustaining, it's all they need. Good. But if you take a tiny bit, just a drop or so of arsenic, and put it in that bottle or that glass, and feed it to your baby is dead. Now, the same thing is true in spiritual matters. If you agree with your mouth, yes, I do believe it is the will of God to heal in every situation, every person. But you know, I've always been taught that you have to die from something. Okay, baby, put your arsenic in your milk and go and drink it. See, that's not what the Word of God says. Tiny, tiny little bit. How many times we have prayed for someone to receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost and they can't receive it because someone has taught them that tongues are a gift and everybody doesn't receive it. Some do and some don't. You can pray with a person till you're blue in the face and they will never receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit until you deal with that issue about what is the will of God. Now, there are other factors, you know, when you're ministering to people. There are frequently other factors. But the first one you've got to establish is, what is the will of God? The person, in order to receive something from God, you have got to know that you know that you know that you know that it's God's will for me to have this. If you're dealing with the subject of prosperity, for example, and the Lord meeting our financial needs and our material needs and food and clothing and so on and so forth, and but yet when you were in Sunday school, you were taught, you're hearing now, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. But when you were in Sunday school, someone made a big deal about Jesus saying, the poor you will always have with you. Now, he never said, it's my will that you'll always have poor. He says, it's just the reality of it. Are you listening? He could just as easily have said, the lost you will always have with you. But clearly, it is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. And I'm here to tell you today, regardless of what you see with your natural eyes, regardless of what you see go on around you, regardless of what is going on in your own life, I'm here to tell you today from the Word of God that it is always the will of God to heal physical infirmities and diseases. For every person, it is His will to do it now. Always. And unless you have that settled, listen, it's tough enough dealing with a sickness or something in your body, let alone wrestling with a misunderstanding like that. It is always the will of God to heal. It is always the will of God to heal every person. It is always the will of God to heal them now. Well, maybe for really good people, maybe for, you know, like holy people, like really sainted folks, you know, who are perfect in all their ways, but not for bad people. So you can't have any exceptions. You can't have any exceptions. Well, God can't heal me until I get my life all straightened out. God can't save me till I get my life all straightened out. God can't fill me with the Holy Ghost until I get qualified. I got to first get sanctified, then He can fill me. Where do we come up with all this stuff? Where do we get all this? Jesus said to beware the leaven of the Pharisees. You know what leaven is? Leaven is a rising agent. It's yeast, like yeast. That would be our, we don't use the word leaven, we use the word yeast. And you know, well, most men don't know, I guess, but most of the ladies would know that if you put a little bit of yeast in just a little corner of your dough ball, It won't be any time at all. That dough ball will be all full of yeast. And that's the way unbelief is, that's the way sin is, that's the way all of these things are that will fight against the revealed will of God. Can you give me one example, just one example? If Jesus revealed the will of the Father to us, then give me one single example where somebody came to him sick and he refused to heal them, denied healing for them, turned them away, gave them anything other than healing. Think about it. Have you ever seen an example like that? But see, the doubter would say, yes, but I'm sure there is one. It's not recorded. Not one example. Not one. Over and over and over and over and over and over again, the Scripture says He healed them all. He wants you healed. He wants you healed. He wants you healed. He wants you healed. And anyone else who is dealing with an issue in the physical realm, me, all of us. And what did he say to the centurion? He said, according to your faith be it done unto you. What did he say to the woman with the issue of blood? Thy faith hath made thee whole. And what did he say to the blind man? According to what you have believed. Now, let's wrap up this morning in Romans 10. Whoa! Sometimes I feel so inadequate to... To make it clear, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if healing is the will of God for every person in every situation, and if healing is His will now, and if healing, like everything else that we receive from God, must be received by faith, then let's understand how faith comes. Comes by hearing the Word of God. My prayer is that some of the things that we've talked about this morning will strengthen your faith, will build your faith up, will cause faith to come where it hasn't been, will continue to declare those things that the Lord shows us to declare. Because I believe that God's trying to get His Word to us. I believe He's trying to get us to a point where we will believe at a level that will enable us to receive. That's my heart. Let's pray. You may say, well, Pastor Vic, why don't you lay hands on people today? Why don't you have an invitation? Why don't you call people to the altar and pray for them? Because that's not what the message is today. The message today is God's no respecter of persons. If He's healed one, He'll heal them all. There's not a single reason that we can find in the Word of God that He would ever turn anybody away. So let us not be unwise, but let us be wise and understand what the will of God is. Let's never doubt that. And Lord, my prayer today for our people, for all of us, is that should there be a drop of poison somewhere in our doctrine with regard to healing, somewhere in our understanding, that You will reveal it to us and help us to extract it and destroy it so that we may walk in the fullness of what You have provided for us. It cost You so much. It cost You so much to provide forgiveness for our sins. It cost You so much to provide peace of mind, mental health. It cost You so much to provide healing and physical health for us. And Lord, we oftentimes suffer . We want to know how to partake of the promises and not leave them on the table. Teach us, lead us, guide us. If necessary, drive us to the place where we must be in order to receive Your good gifts. In Jesus' name we pray.